Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right now on your Voice of Barbados. We're 92.9 FM on that radio dial. Now again, welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. I'm your host, Corey Lane, producer and technical operator, Michelle Braffy. We go until 2 p.m. this afternoon together in fine company. Now, the Brass Tacks project. This is a project where we raise and discuss community, local, regional, and international issues and give you, the public, Barbados, Barbadians, and the public the opportunity to discuss. And one of the things I always hope people bear in mind is that there's actually an agency and a person in government, I understand, that they follow a lot of public discourse to kind of get the temperature and the feel, the pulse of the people, and feed it into those in responsible for making and implementing policy. And I think that that's a grand opportunity. It never was done in a structured way. It's being done so now. Now, one of the things I love about being part of the Brass Tacks team and part of the Brass Tacks project is that from time to time, we get the grand reminder that radio works. What am I talking about? There was a guy who would have called, I think he spoke to Dennis, he spoke to a number of the moderators, an insurance problem he had, really insurance was not communicating with him because he has a lawyer and so on. 2 days after that call, he left the number out front for me. I called him and he got a check from the insurance. He said it was a hefty sum, but not as hefty as he would like. But nonetheless, he lived to fight another day. So I do believe in that. And also, you remember the project we did, I think coming out of Christmas, it was David Ellis and myself with June. We had a discussion with June and her two daughters, and they keep in constant contact with me, and they're doing really fine, combining the power of radio again, family and friends, all chipping in to make what was a very, very difficult situation. Now there's lots of ease in that situation and heading for a light at the end of the tunnel. What's on my mind? I'm still thinking about education. I'm thinking about discussions I had about a call we had about the police force last week. We weren't able to deal with the CHAPS matter, of course, and the way the employees were dealt with. Many in this chair spoke about that before. That's on my mind. Additionally, what's on my mind is the state of our national stadium and the lack of direction. I understand plans are still to be decided on. I spoke to some parents yesterday, some very young children, and they had to abandon the roofless stadium. Yes, there are tents on the eastern side, but on the western side, we have what we could really call bleachers or scorchers, where a lot of the younger parents not able to, they're not accustomed to being in the field, right? So they could not brave that stand, and they would have missed out the opportunity to see their young charges participate. For me, I understand that development takes time, but I think that is one of the areas we're missing a little discussion on and direction on what's happening with the National Stadium. But enough about what's on my mind. I want to know what's on yours. So you know, again, the number is to call 434-1790 and the WhatsApp number where you can send your short, readable WhatsApp 266-4862. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Corey Lane. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Corey. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And you?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Kitty?
Yes, please. I don't want to do a brief discussion as it relates to the organization, the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness, formerly the Barbados Vagrants and Homeless Society.
Kimara Safri, you know, I ain't pick up the voice, man. Let me give you a proper welcome, man. You can't ease through the door like that. Let me pull out the carpet. Good morning and welcome, Kimara Safri, president of the Alliance to End Homelessness.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, they would have had the opening of this shelter, a significant achievement for our organization, but also a significant achievement for the country, where up to yesterday, Dennis was in the chair, he was talking about homeless with still Uncle Mark, and kind of the things that go with that in terms of keeping the city untidy and all the various things that go with that. Now, you've opened, when was the shelter officially opened?
There would have been the 13th of January would officially open and start taking in persons.
Good. So since then to now, I'd like you to give the public a synopsis of the experience of opening the doors to the less fortunate among us.
It has been interesting. Over the years I've always talked about homelessness and, you know, seeing certain people in homeless positions. But now that you have a shelter where, you know, you can house about 90 persons per night, including women and children and babies. Men, women and children and babies, because we said babies because we have a nursery for the babies. It's kind of challenging in the sense that you're now seeing everything that you talk about over the years in reality, like where you said, okay, you had women and children on the street and a lot of persons just thought that you were talking because you have a mouth. You're now seeing it in reality where you have women and children living in the shelter. Children going to school from the shelter, people finding themselves in the predicament of homelessness and coming forward more because they want somewhere to sleep or somewhere to stay. So we've started to see a lot of change in the homelessness and the type of person that are looking to get help. And, you know, it has its challenges because it's much different from what you would have dreamt about or what you always wanted a building for the homeless. The whole everything is now becoming a reality, and you're now trying to pick out and see where everything falls into place or how things fall out of place, basically. But overall, it still has been a great experience for the staff and myself.
Where is the major departure, the major change between what you dreamt and what now is reality?
Over the years, we would mention that homelessness is evident among us. Well, some people only think that the homeless is only about people that look dirty and smelly on the street. It was people that were in dilapidated conditions, persons that were moving from house to house, that were butting around from friend to friend. The fact that, you know, over the years I've got a call saying that there's a woman and her children living on somebody's patio or on somebody's cellar or somebody's backyard. And now those persons are coming to you more so. There's also the cases where men are actually coming with children. So it's not only women and children, but it's also men and children that are coming as well. And it's just evident now that things that you said, well, I in my mind thought that I would be more dealing with the homeless that is currently on the street, like the ones I've been dealing with over the years. But I'm more so seeing a lot of new faces that I never saw, you know, and I'm challenged by it because I'm like, I really thought I'm here to help the ones that I knew over the years. Not that I'm saying they would not help those that are coming, but the ones that are coming are more, great, numbers greater than the ones that are already on the street. And that is something I never really planned for in that sense.
Okay, what's the role of the, when I say the role in numbers, the role call for the shelter at this thing? How many tenants?
How many access? No. I can give you the today count. Today count, what we do is something called flipping bed. So we count how much time the beds were used. So from the 13th of January to current, right now, today from last night to now, the beds have been flipped more than 375 times so far in that short space of time. Meaning that would have been how much persons would have come in. Not nights. In numbers of persons sleeping, but nights. Correct. And you count the beds at how much time people sleep. That is still a problematic number because, as I said, Corey, we have only been open since the 1st of January to now, which has only put us to a month and a half, to be exact. And to have that much persons sleeping the beds, and the beds are, like, we're increasing. Some nights you're having 30 people sleeping. I think the lowest we've ever dropped to probably was 11. But no, you have an increased amount of people, and there are also families that are also seeking the shelter use, meaning that you may have a husband and wife that may have children. Mm-hmm. But when they get into the shelter, you separate the husband from the wife because it's a shelter and not a home, and there's a female section and there's a male section. Mm-hmm. So there's a complete separation between the two, and the family cannot be together for the night while they're here. Oh, only the probably mother can keep the children, or depending on the son, depending on how old there is a boy's room that we will look to put the boys in so that, you know, the boys are protected, the babies are protected, and the male and the female is also protected.
Just as an aside, do you have a capacity to probably create family rooms? It may not be something you want to encourage on in the long term, But I don't want you to be accused, like Trump, of separating families.
Well, I'm a big supporter of Trump.
I know that's why you use that.
At this time, no. And to tell you the reason why, Corey, Barbadians could appreciate that. Well, in my mind, I only saw when we attempted to get the first shelter in Barbados, we only attempted to do 30 persons, right? Right now, we are doing 90, and we did not count the babies. If we do the babies and how much babies we can facilitate in this building, we could probably go close to 100. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, 90 is still a lot. And we are it's a lot.
And it may be, is it a rotating number? Like, for instance, it may seem low to Barbadians, but I will explain why I'm asking. Can you give Barbadians an idea of how many people slept there last night? Because they don't believe you have 90 at one time. So you may have 10 tonight, 12 another night, which include 4 that weren't there the night before. How many people slept there last night?
So an average of about 15 persons, well, not counting the children, would have slept last night. Right. And that did not include children. We are the ones that go to school or the babies. We try not to count them in our numbers so regularly, but...
No, I fully understand. There's a few questions I want to ask, and then I want to actually go over and, a little later in the program and speak to someone who I don't know if they were through the program, but they are definitely doing better to bring another side to this. So just some few questions. In terms of people who would go to school from the shelter, how do they get the wherewithal in terms of, let's say, some money for school and different things like that? They provide that on their own?
No, we provide it. Again, Corey, let me share it with you. Having this shelter has opened our eyes to a lot of things that I don't think that was there on the books or need to be put on the book as a British government. Now, the reason why you have a mother living here, our program was never designed for a mother to live here. Our shelter was designed for you to sleep between 6 and 10. You have up to 6 and 10 to get in, and then you have to get home by 8 o'clock. Now, if the child or the parent is going to have the child on the street, that child can be taken away from the parent. Having the child coming into the shelter, or what we call living in the shelter with the parent, actually keeps the family together. So, you know, it's a walk contradicting Trump's idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, keeping the family together, and then because the mother that or the father that we had here with the child is not working, then if the child goes to school, we provide the bus fare, but we also work now in conjunction with the Ministry of Education to make sure that child is given school meals at school and that they're well taken care of when they go to school. And that is kept confidential between us and the Ministry of Education. And then the ministry would alert the principal to the condition that the child may be going in. Now, I've heard people said this is not a condition for a child or this is not the place for a child. We agree. But as I said to persons before, it's better having the child in the shelter than having the child without a shelter on the street where people could be beaten, could be raped, could all sorts of issues could happen. So the child is more protected here because of the maximum amount of security features and security guards we have here.
Mm-hmm.
They're safer being here, and the place obviously is a well-kept and a lovely environment for the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had an open office the other day where we invite Barbadian public to come and see the shelter for themselves. And that is how we think. So even though it's heart-wrenching, we send school to child with bus fare, but if they can't, we give them bus fare just in case the buses don't come. Mm-hmm. But we take care of the child and the mother and all the children that are here while they're here. We cook for them, we take care of them and everything like that while they're here.
All right, two last questions. Yesterday, it was raised on the discussion that there are some people, I think Ninja Man was cited, that just don't want to be in the four corners of a building, and they will always seek to be on the outside. Is that your experience, and what do you recommend we do in cases like that?
Okay, so yes, it is that. That is the experience that some of the guys would don't want to come off the street because, again, Corey, I can put out my age out there. I'm only 30. I've been doing this for 10 years. We had a death the other day with Gordon. He was 40 years on the street. If you understand the numbers they're coming from now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys have been on the street longer than I've been alive. And in a lot of large cases, we have tried to reach them, but they because something like this shelter have never came about for them or provided for them in the past, they have just grown accustomed to being on the street, and they just prefer to be there right now. We would help them with clothing and food, and if they want other stuff, they could come here for it, and they do come here for it. But as far as sleeping, as you call chronic level of vagrancy, they're not going to find themselves in here so much to stay sleeping. That is something that we have to work on drastically with them. But again, they would come for what they want, clothing, food stuff, and other things, but the sleeping part for chronic level of vagrancy, we're still working on. And we're only a month and so in, so we're still working on it.
All right. Always a big question with these types of projects, funding. How are you doing in terms of funding to keep the doors open and keep the homeless being provided for? What type of support you're getting and need?
Let me sound spiritual here, just by the grace of God. A lot of persons would donate, and we appreciate Barbados for donating, but I find about a large 90% of our donation is always in food and clothing. The shelter being at the expense is that right now has a huge, we would have put out a $25,000 budget, and that is only a month, what we are spitting out. And that is only now at this stage. Since having mothers and children and fathers and children in the building, Corey, we had a higher extra security. We had to hire somebody to be able to prep meals for these persons. And so you add to the already high expense we have just by having people that, you know, in the building. Obviously, the government agencies now have to come together seriously. And we've already engaged out with the Ministry of People's Empowerment and different government agencies to come together to find ways, not only financially, but also to find ways of existing government programs to get persons out of the shelter back into mainstream society, especially the mothers and the children, so that we can move on quickly to help somebody else, because it is taxing on us. We're not government funded, and I would say we are not government funded as yet, because I would hope that after the financial estimates that we're able to get some sort of subvention that we'll be able to continue the work, because as I said, a lot of people do give, but more on the food and the clothing. We do get somewhat financial donation, as everyone would have seen Coinman the other day. We appreciate donations like those that will keep us going, but we need more support like that. And finances is a big thing for us as it relates to keeping our door open. But we need more Barbadian support in that regard. And they're free to get any financial record that they need once they put in, if they put in their funds, or they could go to corporate affairs and seek any financial if they need to be, just for the public records.
Okay, roger that. Now, when we think about the ending homelessness, one of the things I was looking at under the Sustainable Development Goals with the UN rep here in Barbados is the fact that there are some countries around the world that has just done that. I think in some part of London or England, they provide you a home, no questions asked. They ensure they're ending homelessness. Again, that will not apply to people like Gordon and stuff like that. But that is something I think in our next conversation, I think we can look at how do we actually bring this to an end. I remember us discussing with NGOs and so on, one of the missions really is to complete the mission and have it, you know, to a point where we feel satisfied that we've made a significant dent and can move on to another project. So I want to wish you all the best in your endeavors and for taking time out with us here on Down to Brass Tacks to explain this.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. That's Kimar Safari, president of the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness. And I just want to underscore something that he said, and that is in terms of sometimes when we think about homeless or vagrancy, we think of those people who are on the street and unkept and so on. And one of the things that I've noticed or been in contact with of recent times really is people who are homeless because they have no homes. They are living by neighbors, they're scorching by friends and family, a situation with a mortgage, situation with a relationship, and therefore they actually don't have anywhere to live, and they can definitely be considered homeless, but they're not on the street out there on camp. Now, one of the things I spoke about, I think it was on Sunday, we're talking about how can family help. How can family help in these times of need? And we have on the WhatsApp call June. Good morning, June. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good. You have to speak up because the WhatsApp call is pretty low. Now, you remember we did a program, Brass Tacks Sunday, leading up to Christmas. And we really wanted to touch base with you to see how things have been going with you, because the Brass Tacks family had promised us live on air that they would reach out to you. So I just want to check in with you and the two girls and see how things are going.
It's going, Corey, kind of all right. So far, where the food and things, but as far as I am right now, I'm still in debt with the landlord. He was here up to yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What sort of assistance are you getting in respect to that? Let's deal with that part first.
The welfare, they told me that they would pay the $800 till August, but they never give me a date.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that, you know, you're anxious because you're trying to plan. But one of the things I recognize is that, from my understanding, the welfare does reviews every 6 months. So that is something quite normal where they would say we will give until. So it's not indefinite. So that is something I believe we could work around. Now, you said you had gotten assistance with food and so on. So the people that had promised it, actually, they came through?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Other people had promised some things looking at sustainability for yourself, like the sewing machines and the computer or laptops for the children for education and so on. How is that going?
Yeah, again, Corey, thank you very much. I've received the two laptops for the girls.
Nice.
And they've started so far with the work.
Mm-hmm.
I messaged the guy and told him thanks a lot.
You got them last year?
And last week.
Last week. Okay. So that's quite recent. But that's really good, because sometimes we have pledges on the radio when we have disasters and so on. And one of the problems the organizers usually point to is the fact that a lot of people pledge things, but then they don't come forward with them. And that was one of the fears I had here on the program, where so many people committed on and off ear to assisting in your plight. And I was saying, you know, suppose they just, you know, get your hopes up and then come true. So I'm very happy to hear about that. In terms of things, in terms of sustainability, finding things to do amidst your health conditions, how is that going?
Now, so far, I've received a sewing machine from the lady at and I've made two shirts, but I have no clientele as yet.
Oh, yes. There was a lady who was supposed to hook up with you in terms of for material and stuff too. You were able to get in contact with her? I think I still have contact for her.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay,
yeah, the material that the lady bought, that was for her types as well too.
Okay, good. So that's the clientele is what we're missing now. All right, so again, I will reach out to our Brass Tacks family in terms of assistance we can get with, because I feel that that's the final piece of the puzzle. If we could get that clientele, we have the material, we have the sewing machine, we can actually look at clientele and some kind of business etiquette, business understanding business, so that you know the turnover, the stock, the profit, and so on, so we can look at some kind of sustainability going forward. But I just wanted to touch base with you today in terms of showing Barbadians the power of giving, the power of being our brothers and sisters keepers, and, you know, highlight you really as an example of a person willing to come out and speak out in terms of what you've been experiencing and willing to speak out about how people have helped.
Thank you very much.
What's the position with the two girls? They're off at school right now, I imagine.
Well, they're home today because they have a funeral to attend for 1:30.
Okay. All right, you could tell them a big shout out from the Brass Tacks family, a big Brass Tacks hug to you and them, and want to thank you. And we'll check in from time to time. Okay,
no
June?
Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thank you, and same to you as well. Well, June just took us to 24 minutes after 10. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. We go to the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
There are about four issues I would like to discuss with you this morning. The first one is, there was an article in yesterday's paper where Minister Hinkson is reported to have said that not a single garbage truck was purchased over the last 12 years. Hello?
I'm listening to you. Not right. A single garbage truck being purchased in the last however many years.
Right. Now, early earlier this year, the statsman was asking former Minister Law a number of questions. And one of the questions he asked, he was speaking to Joyanne, and one of the questions he asked was if Minister Law ever purchased any garbage trucks over the last 10 years. Joyanne was able to go to the Nation of 2013 and pulled an article showing Minister Law standing beside 9 garbage trucks and other pieces of equipment belonging to the SSA. Now, I would like to know, why is this administration continuing to perpetuate a lie about the purchase of garbage trucks?
Sir, what I could say is that I've heard comments that you're talking about from both sides. As a member of the public, I too am curious. Were garbage trucks and buses purchased or not? Now, that is not something that is that difficult to prove or dispel. I believe that those who are purporting that they were purchased bring forward the evidence. Those who are, no, but no, the picture is something that, you know, I even call that evidence. I want to see invoices because you could be standing up in front of existing trucks. You understand what I'm saying? My thing is, what is evidence is invoices and so on, right? There could be remodeled trucks. I see some remodeled buses, electric buses on my social media. So my thing is, I don't want politics. I want evidence. Those who are purporting that there were not purchased equally should be asked to bring the evidence. Because I'm hearing that some of the trucks we got were the ones that were bought before, and I'm hearing that no, those are ones that newly ordered by this administration. None of the public are any of the wiser when both sides just continue to try to make themselves look good. I want to see the sir, I join you. I want to see the evidence. I don't want any article.
All right, okay. All right, the next thing I would like to deal with is the indebtedness of the country. Now, in 2018, Barbados was listed as the third most indebted country in the world. Now, in 2020, Barbados is not even listed in the first 10. However, there's a table. And at the end of the table, there is this note. Small economies whose GDP is less than $10 billion is not listed, are not listed in this table. And it goes on to mention Barbados. Now, do you think there's any significance in mentioning Barbados after the end of this table?
Depends on the angle you're looking from. Tell me, what's your main concern about it, though? I'm more interested in what you're thinking.
Well, I am interested in seeing how Barbados was able to drop out of the third most indebted country in 2018 to not being mentioned in the 10 in 2020.
Right, and what is your concern? You believe that it is not so, or are you just impressed that Barbados was able to do it?
I am not impressed. I'm asking
how they did it.
But why did the person who compiled the table make the note and mention Barbados?
To show the impressiveness of getting off of the top 10 most indebted countries in the world. Now, do you understand how they measure indebtedness?
It has to do with debt to GDP ratio.
So we were able to lower our debt to GDP ratio significant enough to get off of the top 10. So I thought you'd be impressed by that.
No, I just, do you think, that anything that happens in the Barbados economy would impact the world economy?
Not really. Not at all.
And why then would they go?
Who's the person? Who's the person that made the table? That who's the author?
I pulled it up on the internet.
Mm-hmm. I think why they may mention it is to show how small open economy, how a small open economy has been able to do it. So whether you're small, medium, or large, the person may be pointing to the significance of this small open economy and being able to lower it at such a rate. Now, we talked about Barbados not being significant international. Of course, there are things like, for instance, if the coronavirus started here, of course, we could affect the global economy like that. But also, if you have a company who've been able to work with Barbados to lower their debt internationally, if you could point to that, that's a global ad for other countries who may be struggling now or in the future. And that's one of the other reasons why you could point to it, to show it as a model, but also to show it as a global ad. A lot of things that happen with these studies and surveys and so on, there are lots that go on behind in the engine room that we are unaware of. But if I was to look at it here just with an open mind, my belief would be to show the rest of the world that a small open economy was able to do significantly well in a short space of time and probably look at some of the things that they did.
All right, next point. The last time Dr. Masco was on the program, he made the statement that this administration is not printing any money. Mm-hmm. Instead, they have overdraft facilities with the central bank. Now, yesterday, he raised this point with Mr. Johnson, and he's telling me when you resort to overdraft facilities, you are not using anybody's money. He made that about an individual. Now, when a government or when a country uses overdraft facilities at the central bank, whose money is that country using?
Actually creating debt is a taxpayer's money that have to pay by eventually.
So if the last administration financed their debt by printing money, and this one now is using overdraft facilities, aren't both of them doing the same thing?
Same thing in different ways, and they obviously will have different economic impacts and effects. Now, I'm not the most qualified to speak on that. I'm not an economist. But I concern about your call as a Barbadian, a proud Barbadian, a loyal Barbadian. The three issues that you raised today are, to my mind, positives that you've turned into negatives. Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. I just want to have a conversation with you. Do you love Barbados?
I love Barbados.
Right. I think I love Barbados the most. And people would try to compete with me, right? But I love Barbados a lot. I mean, I became a parish ambassador. I loved it even more. Now, you talked about trucks. We have trucks now that we didn't have before. We have better garbage collection that we didn't have before. Anybody would admit that. My friend, Mr. Chris Sinclair, from everybody would admit that, right? We have lower debt to GDP. Any Barbadian should be celebrating that. We've stopped printing money, which was putting the Barbados dollar at a risk. We've stopped that. These are all things to go out in the middle of Broad Street, release some balloons, and play the marching band. But yet you come to the program 2 days in a row to lament about positives about the country. And they have to have come a time. And I don't care what people are, the politics and the partisan thing, but they'll do one thing. But they got to come apart at a time when country must come numero uno. It must be party or personality or whoever, who you don't like, whatever. There must be a time when Barbados is numero uno for us, and it comes before everything else. And that is my concern. I don't know what's your reaction or response to that. I actually feel really hurt here right now.
You feel hurt?
I love my country dearly, sir.
Well, you love,
it
I
gave
love
me
my
everything
country,
that I have today. I don't know where I'd be without it.
But I'm interested in truth.
So you're saying it's not true that the debt was lowered, and it's not true that we stopped
printing
money?
I'm not saying that it's not true that the debt was lowered. The thing with the garbage trucks.
Mm-hmm.
If the last administration purchased garbage trucks,
they should be acknowledged for it.
Why should this one be saying that none were purchased?
I agree with that, sir. I actually agree with
you
on that.
Because I love Barbados now, and some person is telling a lie.
No, I agree with that part. It's just like how you lamented the three positives. And I agree with your last point with the printing of money. Suppose you stop printing money and causing an effect to, or you were printing money and that caused a particular effect to economy,
and but
you
switch and use,
right, and if that causing an equal or more effect, then, or greater effect, then they think that that is concerning and people will be twisting and using propaganda and destroying the country, and hence you got to speak about it. So I agree with you on that. And the last one, the GDP.
The last one is about the police force, all right?
Okay, go ahead.
Now, they say that there's a shortage of manpower in the police force. Mm-hmm. And still you find policemen doing St. Judy at Government House and driving judges and so on. I think that these duties could be taken over by the defense force and free up those policemen to do what they were trained to do.
Interesting. And again, that's what I love about the Brass Stats Project. There are persons, or a particular person I know, that actually listen to these ideas and deliver them to the relevant parties for consideration. So you've made your contribution to Barbados.
Okay, thanks a lot, Corey.
You're part of Team Barbados, and I want to thank you for that, genuinely. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Brass Stats, good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Long time.
Yeah, that last point that that caller made, my words can't describe that. It's an excellent point. And one of the things I admire about that caller, he always remains calm and cool. Now, I have a few questions to ask. I have heard people calling on this program lamenting the fact that they have not gotten the
tax returns.
An NSF. Mm-hmm. Hello?
No, go ahead, go ahead.
That they have not gotten the NSF. But sometimes it's not no great law. What I want to know, how come that is the people's money, their money, they can't get it, but yet government, past and present, can go to the same NIS to get the same people's money and get it when they want it. Millions. Mm-hmm. Millions. And that is a question that has to be responded to. It's the people's money. It's theirs. Why can't they get it? And those are the people who need it most. Like any government, whether they or B, can go into the people's money without their permission and take it up as their like millions.
There are three parts to the answer to that. One, there's laws and legislation that makes it possible and legal for them to do so. Doesn't make it right or wrong. Two, they are elected by the said people who the money belongs to manage the affairs and hence manage the money of the country. And three, the whole idea is that when they borrow it, they're not only to pay it back, but it's to pay it back with interest, because that is what? Supposed to be, they're supposed to invest that money, that healthy sum of money, and make it even healthier, to make us
what
wealthier.
Proof do I have, or the public have, that the monies are indeed paid back? I want, you want his facts from a previous caller? I want facts about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the quicker it is done, the better.
What, you want facts about what?
If the money is indeed being paid back.
Okay, right, okay. There are reports that are supposed
to
show that.
Apartment, so when like,
mm-hmm.
I want the facts. Now, some time ago, 2 weeks ago, the postal workers had a meeting. And I can't remember if it was before or after, it would have happened before. Some of those postal workers, motorcyclists, were stolen from the compound of the post office at Chip Say. The Postmaster General, or whoever she's called, said that they are not responsible. You're wrong. You are indeed responsible. Those fellows were at work. They weren't in a run shop. So you are indeed responsible, and you should replace the administrator. I'm not talking about her. Those rights should be replaced at no expense to those workers. You know what it tells me? The security at the post office is slack. Not one motorcycle was stolen. Seven. It's just like these things that when you go out of place to conduct business that they're not responsible for pregnant Oris. I spoke to a lawyer already about that. He's now deceased. And he said that those things are just a scare tactic. And these signs will be used. You know what they will be used? Because a lot of Barbadians do not inquire about their rights to accept whatever is thrown at them.
One of the things you'll be happy about, I was in a meeting sometime last week, and the courts of Barbados threw a project called the Juris Project. It's about justice improvement and so on. One of the main components that they're going to be looking at is putting on some public relations on your rights. And Barbadians' rights in many fields of the law. So they've asked the Bar Association, the lawyers and so on, to look, investigate where the hot button issues are, where a lot of people's rights are being infringed, and actually start to educate the public about that. And I think that that's a project that you would appreciate.
Who said that?
That is under the Chief Justice and the Jurist Project.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. You can get copies of those laws from the Office of Public Counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the Office of Public Counsel have been more efficient than the Fair Training Commission.
They have two different responsibilities, though, P.
They are printed.
Two points. One, two agencies got two different roles. Two, when you get a copy of the law, that don't help you to understand your rights, because a lot of times those laws are written in legalese, where I, you don't understand. You understand? We will go and triple our own selves. Because we literate don't mean you can read law. Law is written in a way that you need to pay the people lawyers to explain and defend you. And you, of all people in Barbados, at the top of the class, would know that the law is full of loopholes. More holes than laws at times.
Well, I can tell how you deal with the holes. Then you got to point your stick to it.
Suppose you're wrong, you're strong, you stick to it.
Well, but I am the kind of person that you should well know. When I'm wrong, I don't hesitate to apologize.
True.
Like, I do not hesitate.
Mm.
My next point.
Last point.
Transport board management. And I was sitting with somebody about this, and I always talk about this.
But now, yes, you're reading my book. You're reading all of Barbados book.
So, you have one bus that play a route. Let's say the city circle. There's also the bus that leaves Oystens that goes to Bridgefield. It's not a regular bus. I know of a young lady who has to pay now $480 in bus for a month, then she should be paying $240.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no bus. There's the driver, but there's no bus available for the driver to cover that route. The solutions, I know there's a problem with transport board. I know. But there's solutions. If you have other buses that bought, let's say four buses assigned to them, running on the hour. Pull off a bus at different intervals on each route and cover that there. Cover that route. It's a one bus, you know. It's in two. And the hurtful thing about this said bus, I was stolen from someone at transport board from Oystens or along the Coast Road, because it traversed Oystens, the Coast Road, turned by the Garrison, Colonna Road, by Hall, from itself. People who goes to work have to get back from work.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, that bus should be utilized during the peak hours. I won't make any fuss about during the downtime. Right? And I would advise the minister to talk to Wilfred Airman and Kurt Humphrey. Listen to them. These are hands-on ministers. They are. And I hope that they remain the way that they are. You see, well, for everyone's out there in the mud, in the dirt, rubbing shoulders with the workers. It's not only about being placed in a management position, it's also knowing how to relate to people, how to talk to people. That's how you get respect. That's how you get people to appreciate you.
Right, yeah, leave it there. No, I want you to keep in contact with Joyanne as the commuter advocate. I think that y'all could make an excellent team in terms of getting these ideas to management and seeing them implemented. Because it may be fun jumping on the program, screaming at the top of your lungs, and waiting for radio to work in one specific way. But I believe on air will be more powerful, off air will be more powerful than on air in this particular case. Another point is, I've been informed that the postmaster is waiting on a report from the police in dealing with the matter, and that is information I think that you would appreciate. Okay? Okay, have a great day. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 10 minutes before 11 a.m. So we got a couple WhatsApps here before we go back to the line. This one says, there's a bus stop waiting to break at the base next to Waves Hotel and Spa in Prospect. Please, let's get on that today before that bus stop clunk somebody on the head. And we got to pay out some money. A stitch in time saves nine. And saves some millions too. And God forbid, no, is a tourist. You know how we can get on. Anyhow, what's on my mind is the way these females dress to come to games to watch their children at the stadium. Too much is out. So we have the children racing and we have some hearts of some people racing as well. So here we go. We need to, you know, consider public decency. And then we ask the question, what is that? Anyhow, moving on. Good morning, Corey. There's on Sunday, an old lady called the police for this young man who threatened her life and told her she is going to burn her house down. And we called the police and they have, again, a part of this jurist project, one of the things I was making mention of, one of the reasons we have such violence is lack of responsiveness to conflict. And this goes right across the board in the schools. You have a situation where sometimes you will complain for a bully or a report and you feel as though you ain't getting satisfaction. Nobody ain't taking on. So what you do? You chuck a cuff or stabbing somebody. At home, same thing. And on the streets, definitely. People ain't dealing with the law because they don't feel as though they get that satisfaction. Some of them are just belligerent, but some of them, if they could turn somewhere to have an authority deal with the matter satisfactory, that it ends there. And that's why I am going to join the plight with the restorative justice where people can shake hands and say sorry as opposed to bringing on a penalty one way or the other. I think mediation, arbitration, and that kind of restorative justice really is the way to go to kind of quell all of this violence. This last one. Good morning. My question is, what is the penalty for the owners of the Chaps restaurants for their sudden closure, not properly informing their staff? And pray tell, where is the Minister of Labour in all of this? Because I see it the way that this was done and the owners received no penalty. It means it's open season for all businesses to do as they like to Barbadian workers. And I want to support this WhatsApp. I would like before 2 p.m. that we know estimates is going on, but of course you have a hierarchy. This doesn't all fall on one person. I think we should be hearing a loud, stern, and firm discussion on what are the penalties for these types of things. This is not good enough. I understand we have Mr. Roger Husbands on the air last time. We were supposed to speak with him about this new app and system called Confessions, where young people go online and they do certain things. And I always believe it's important to discuss these things right across the board, especially on a program like Brass Tacks and a station like VOB, where many parents and grandparents may be listening so that we can know exactly what's happening around us. 7 minutes before 11 o'clock. We say good morning and welcome. Roger, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Corey. How are you
doing? Okay, Roger that. I am fantastic. What about you?
I am pretty good. Not feeling too well today, but I'm pretty good.
Man, I wish you much better. We send you sunshine and great health over here at the Brass Tacks family.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, good. I want you to put the public in the know from your understanding, investigation, and experience with this thing called Confessions. You know, sometimes when you put out your early warnings, people tend to ignore at their peril. Hopefully, on this occasion, that they could heed the warnings that you would bring on this particular subject.
Right. Well, thank you for having me. One of the things that we've done recently is that this new app, which is called Alone Him, is an app that the young people use, which some parents and a parent, meaning that you went to, was able to get onto the app. And you have to actually be invited on the app, okay? So one person initially, I don't know where, we can't find the origin, but they keep on adding people, but it's a very private chat room. Some people name the chat room Confession, some people name the chat room Secret This. Right now, it is in 6 to 7 secondary schools across the nation. And the ministry is aware of the problem, and they are doing their best to try to get the issue sorted. This is an app where children are really placing nude photos. They're placing venues for where they can come and have sex, or you could come and see certain things, private parts. It's a very dangerous app. It's also an app used to help bait people for beatings and to send out threats to people, and also to get people to bully others. It's a very dangerous app, one that has infiltrated our secondary schools across the nation. And what we want to do, as I've been going around to PTAs, is to warn parents to please watch out for this app on the phone. Obviously, some young people that I've interviewed say to me, but let me tell when my mother comes, I just make sure he delete it. You know, so sometimes you may run to the phone to check the phone, but the child would have already deleted the app. And guess what, Corey? They can easily go back onto the phone and redo it in the night, during the night, and then do what they have to do. It's simple like that. But what I encourage parents to do is to keep checking, because one day little George might forget to delete, and you might be able to find it, because it's hard to identify which young people are using it, because the reality is that they're very much more smarter than some of us in terms of using these phones, and phones have the ability to hide stuff.
Correct. And lock them down. And have the hidden folders and stuff now. And the creators of them too. Sometimes they may create them, the encryption and so on, for genuine security. Or they may have some nefarious people who would put these apps at the disposal of the children and so on. It reminds me of the dark web. So it's kind of like a Barbadian version of the dark web. So again, I want you to tell listeners the name of the app, the different things they can look for in terms of any parents or grandparents listening right now.